At this time of the year, we're all happy. We're all spending money. Even the marriages that are battling are also happy marriages this time of the year, because you would normally get an end of November salary, and you'd also get a December salary, but you'd get that December salary somewhere around between the 15th and the 20th of December. So before you get into festivities over this season, take a step back and prepare yourself for the year ahead. People who call January a broke month, it's plain and simply because they haven't actually planned for January, and it actually becomes January, and that's when you start worrying. You can do by looking at and creating a finance checklist. And today we chat to Paul Rulisser, a certified financial planner, to find out exactly where we are in terms of January, or you're going to have January. Paul, a very good morning to you, and welcome to Cape Talk.
Hi, Zane. Good to be chatting to you.
Yeah, where would I even begin when tackling the finance checklist for December? Where do we start?
Well, you know, financial planning is all about being prepared and planning ahead. And as you correctly said in your intro, it kind of, if you get it right, it gives you lots of peace of mind that when you do have an event going forward, you're prepared for it. There's a provision for it. But what I've done is I've compiled this checklist just for people going away. You know, the school holidays were a little earlier this year, and we're already into them. And it's quite a long period, isn't it? I mean, the kids go back to school sort of mid-January, I think, about five odd weeks.
I think 15th of January is when they go back,
So in that space, we've got a long holiday ahead, and I should imagine a lot of us are now planning for it. And this checklist really just gives us some ideas of what should be in place before we move on. And it's, first of all, I put on the list that medical aid is this time of year where you get these option letters from your medical aid scheme.
Yeah.
And you now need to really get to grips with what scheme you're going to elect to have for the following year, which is a very difficult thing to do because we don't know what kind of medical expenses we're expecting. So it's a hard one. And what tends to happen, especially when families are struggling financially, we tend to go for the cheaper options. You know, we buy on price rather than on benefits. And sometimes that can leave us short. But on the other hand, sometimes we also go the other way where we don't know. We buy these very comprehensive schemes which we never use. And so it's a very hard one to navigate through in terms of making that option. And what I put on our checklist first is to make sure that you really make an informed decision around your medical aid, not a haphazard one.
Yeah.
And I think you need to kind of absorb the information on the various plans. I know it's very difficult because those plans are very technical. And maybe this is also time to get hold of an advisor if you can't interpret the variations, and get hold of an advisor and just really go through the understanding of your medical aid and what you should really be preparing for next year before you tick the block on the option that's available.
The medical aid situation is a bit of a catch-22 for me, because the moment you start moving from one plan to another plan, it's 300 Rand more, but I'm not getting this. Or it is 500 Rand more, and I am getting that. I'm getting 200% cover instead of 100% cover. What are all those differences? How do you look at it? Would you just go to a financial plan and say, these are my needs, and this is what I want to do, and this is where I want to be? Because, you know, sometimes your medical savings is up by October, November. It's gone.
Mm. Well, I think if you really understand the basic sort of sides of the medical aid, you've got one side of it that caters for in-hospital experiences. So if you're admitted to hospital, basically that side of the plan will get you into hospital and cover all the big bills. And those big bills are very, very expensive, and I don't think we should be compromising on that side of the plan at all. Because, you know, you don't want to move in for a heart operation and have to sell your house, because that's how exorbitant those fees can be. So my guideline would be, understand that there's an in-hospital version of your plan which you shouldn't compromise on. And then that side of the plan should be unlimited access to hospital.
Yeah.
Because there are versions of plans which make them a lot cheaper where they only limit your stay in the hospital, and that could also be quite risky for you as well. But once you've bedded down with that, the other side of the plan is the out-of-hospital expenses. And this is where generally they create what they call a savings account, and you can use the savings account for day-to-day expenses, you know, over-the-counter medicines, doctor's visits, dentist visits, etc. But to your point, generally that savings account, if you have a very bad year, runs out very quickly. But just understand that essentially the savings account is your own money anyway. If you take the cost of a savings account out of the equation, it's directly related to the premium, and your premium will reduce it, you know, proportionately. So in the understanding of that, a savings account is just really a nice, convenient little access point to use. And you can probably get it right in terms of compromising on the savings side of the medical aid plan rather than the hospital side. The hospital side, I think, is non-negotiable. I think you've got to get that right.
You've got to make sure, you need to make sure that when you land up in hospital that you actually have the necessary things to afford what. And it can become quite expensive. I mean, you could be paying up to 100,000 rands for a couple of days in hospital if something happens to you, actually. One of the key elements, and we're chatting to our certified financial planner, Paul Roelofse, this morning. Sorry, Paul. One of the key elements is taking care of your short-term insurance, because you are going on holiday. You're leaving the home alone. And some people put it on Facebook, on holiday, and everybody else knows that you're gone.
Well, there again, that's another one that needs to be, you know, addressed before you go, because it's going to buy you a lot of peace of mind. Insurance valuations, they fluctuate. They change. And I think that you should really get a proper valuation of your property. Because over time, what we tend to do is we took out an insurance policy, a short-term insurance policy, valuing our property at X, and then we bought so many things over time, improved our costs. You know, costs don't go down, they go upwards. So what you really need to do is assure yourself that the household goods are correctly valued. But next to that, too, on the other side, go back to your insurance company and make sure that your car isn't overpriced either, overvalued. You know, cars depreciate over time, and actually on a monthly basis, to that matter.
Yeah.
And you can actually go back to the insurance company and just make sure that they've costed out the value of your car at the present value and not the one that you started the beginning of the year with. Some insurance companies do this automatically, but some don't. And you want to make sure that you're paying a fair price for the vehicles, and also make sure that those valuations of your household effects are right, because you don't want to come back to the, you know, to your home if it is broken into and, you know, you've been, all the goods have been taken, and to find yourself that you're undervalued, because then the insurance company will only pay you a proportion of the valuation and they won't cover the full cost.
Yeah, and if you are looking at in terms of insuring your vehicle at the cost that it is at the moment, you should also think of shortfall insurance. And there are some other expenses that we need to have a look at. And I always sit at this time of the year and I look at school fees, I look at Christmas presents, I look at exactly when those debit orders are going to go off. Some people, some banks will notify you and say, listen, yeah, we are going to take the debit orders off on the 20th of the month, just so that you know and be informed. And if it's anything more difficult than that, you need to notify us if you're going to get paid on the 30th of the month. So what are those issues, and how do you sort of, you know, cushion the blow of this school fees and school uniforms?
Well, as you said earlier on, you know, January is the target. So we don't want to come back into January with surprises. And again, plan for it in the context of understanding what your debit orders are going to be. They're going to happen on the 1st of January, even while you're away. Mm. So you need to make sure that there's sufficient funds in your accounts to cater for that. But also understand, too, that you've got those extra costs that come in at the beginning of January. And you should set aside sums of money for that, too. So you basically do a little mini budget. And whatever's left over from that calculation is what you really can afford to go and spend during the festive season. And I think if you get on top of that in terms of a mindset, you're probably going to start the year off on a good footing rather than having to chase your tail now trying to catch up on overexpenditure again. So it's really just a question of a mini budget to understand that the costs of January should come out of your paycheck now. As well as, you know, if you've got a 13th check as well, if you're lucky enough to get one, you know, make provision for that, set it aside for school fees as well. If you can even afford to pay the school fees up front for the year and get that discount that some schools offer, you know, you actually put yourself on the front foot. So the whole idea is to try and turn the corner, not further in debt, but to rather get ahead of debt so that January isn't that much of a worry.
Chatting to Paul Rulisa this morning, certified financial planner, and turning your January into away from a January. You spoke about a checklist, Paul, and of course we need to find out exactly where this checklist is. Paul, very quickly, where would we be able to find this checklist?
Go down to our blog, our website. There's a ton of information that you're welcome to look at. It investforlife.co.za.
There we go. That's Paul Rulisa, Invest for Life, certified financial planner, chatting to us about how to budget and how to actually think very, very critical. Yes, there are presents that you need to buy. Yes, there's lots of money. And you know what? When you wake up one morning and the debit order's gone off and there's a lot of money left, then you're going to be saying to yourself, I can spend. But be careful before you actually spend. And that's Paul Rulisa giving us some sound advice.